So this is just dirt out of my garden. Zinnia, is this thing's name Sparkles? Okay, Sparkles. That's Zinnia's little teddy bear. So a couple questions for some of the younger members of our audience. We've got dirt here, we've got a teddy bear here, and we have me here. What is it that is the same about all of us? Not the looks, okay, but what else? What is it that is the same that we share? I'm guessing you can figure out at least one thing that we all share. At some level, okay, anybody wants to talk, Ken. We're all physical objects, good. Is there anything else? Oh, we're all in the same area, good. What about what we're made of? Are we, huh? Dirt. We're all made of dirt? Okay, can you elaborate on that? Uh-huh. Okay, what about this thing? Okay, okay. So that is the right answer. We are all made of the same substance at some point. Now, these are some really weird compounds we've got going on here, so we might have to go all the way down to the elemental level, but there is a sense in which we are all made of the same elements, for sure. Maybe we share some compounds. Now, probably, now this dirt, you know, there's little bits of rock in there. There's not a lot that I share with a piece of rock, but there are some elements that are the same. And of course, there's some microbes in there that are a little different. Okay, so now, I'm guessing you'll notice that these things share some things in common that I don't have with them. What makes me different from these two things? I'm a human being. So what can you make that clearer? What is different between a human being and this inanimate object? I can talk. Okay. So is it fair to say I have life? I'm alive. In a way that these two things are not, unless you're talking about the microbes. Okay, so I'm proposing, David made a very important point here. I'm proposing that when God formed man out of this stuff, and then he breathed into him, that man became alive, that God imparted something of himself to man that nothing else in the world gets to share. So we can talk about different life forms. We can talk about grass and trees and flowers. They're alive too, but something's different there. We can talk about dogs and cats or dolphins or chimpanzees. They're alive as well, but it's a different form of life. We carry a spark of God's essence. We carry his aliveness in a way that other creatures don't. So today I want to talk about life. I want to talk about God being life. So we're going to start in John, the first five verses of the Gospel of John. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." So when we talk about God being alive, of course, or being life itself, of course, we have this thing called death that we need to reckon with. And so it's easy to be confused by death because we are living in mortal bodies that die, and death is a very significant part of our awareness, of our existence. And it's easy for us to think that death will come, overcome us, snatch us away, or has done that to some of our loved ones, and that death, in the end, overpowers life. I'm proposing that death does not conquer life as much as it demonstrates the power of life. And so I'm going to elaborate on that at some length. Now, there are several aspects to this. So think about dead things. So you have a dead possum on the road after a couple days in the warm sun. Pretty soon life starts bubbling out of that thing, right? Literally. It's quite nasty. Worms everywhere. But life is coming out of that death. So there's this kind of strange connection between death and life. Another way of thinking about it is a tree falls, it dies, it rots, and suddenly mushrooms start sprouting out of this thing. So there is this unusual, at least could be, unusual connection between life and death. It seems to, there's a cycle. They cycle between each other. I'm more interested in the connection Jesus makes with life, with life and death, in John chapter 12. So here's what Jesus says. He's talking about a seed. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it. Whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." So now think about a seed that dies. Now seeds can die in two ways. You can have a bunch of seeds in a pile. They get wet. They get hot. They kind of lose their life and they rot. Or you can plant a seed in the soil. It gets damp. It swells. It begins to, something happens, rot, die. But then out of it comes this shoot growing upwards. So in a very real sense, the kind of death Jesus is talking about here is a death that only affects the outer layer of the seed. That dies, and it releases the life that is inside of that seed to grow completely into a new thing. So from a seed to a large stalk of corn in just one summer. So that is a connection between life and death that I think is most revealing about the relationship between God being life and death being something we live with. So I think the best way to get our minds around this is to think what happened when Jesus was hanging on the cross and he said, "It's finished," and he dies. Now the author of life is in contact with death. How can that possibly be? This is the closest thing to what I think of as impossible as you can get. How can life meet death in that way? And when it did, what came out of it was a risen, resurrected Jesus with all power that had been given to him in heaven and earth. It's a life that now gives life to us. It's a life that has redeemed us from death. So in very real sense, I see death as revealing, at least the death that Jesus died here, as revealing a deeper aspect of life, one that can no longer be touched with death. Colossians 3 says, "If you then have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." So my wish for each of us this morning is that we encounter the unstoppable aliveness of Jesus Christ in our hearts as we realize that death to our sinful nature is the only way to reveal the depths of life offered to us by our Creator and our Redeemer. Let us worship the one who is life itself. Let's pray. Father, each of us have drunk deeply from the life that you have offered to us. And we want you to continue to use us to offer life to introduce you to other people so that you can bring them alive as well. And yet we also recognize that each of us have layers in our hearts that need to be that need to die so that they can be resurrected. So show us what it means to worship you as the author of life and to allow death to reveal the deeper life that you want us to experience. We love you and we worship you this morning. Amen.
Thank you, Daryl.